Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God for our meditation is recorded in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Fellow redeemed, it was in a garden where everything was perfect that Satan came to Adam and Eve and slipped poison into their minds using his forked, lying tongue. This ruined everything. Death began to seep into all creation. Flowers began to wither. Animals lost their tameness. Fruits began rotting on the vines. Insects began biting. Men went into hiding from a God whose visits he used to look forward to eagerly. Man began aging and toiling, sweating and aching, suffering and dying. Adam and Eve lived a long, long time, the scriptures tell us, but they would eventually bend over and shrivel back into the dust from which they were taken. Their sin would bring an even worse fate. So they wanted to talk and listen to Satan. Well, by their rebellion against the will of God, they and all their descendants earned the right to do just that forever in hell. Our text from Matthew brings us to another garden, the Garden of Gethsemane. Just a few days earlier, Jesus had ridden a donkey right past this garden on his way to Jerusalem. Now here he is standing, or at least trying to, under the heavy weight of the sins of the world. Here in this garden, the Son of God would begin in earnest to undo the hellish work that Satan did in that other garden. Today, this same Son of God who came for us speaks from this garden across the centuries and tells us to watch and pray. Watch our Savior faithfully do the will of God. Throughout history, there have been great tragedies caused by such small, small things. One that stands out in my mind from when I was growing up was how in 1986, the space shuttle Challenger and its crew were destroyed shortly after liftoff because of a small piece of equipment, an O-ring, had failed. Or think of how many of the great wildfires in California have been started by just a little spark. In the Garden of Eden, it seemed to be such a small thing, a little choice the devil was offering Eve. But it was a deep, profound, and wickedly ingenious temptation. What Satan was trying to do was to corrupt the will of man. "Look at you," he said. "You are the crown of God's creation, even above me. But don't you think God should treat you more as an equal than as a servant? I know of a way we can make this happen." Ever since then, our human will has been relentless in a battle against God. Think of how casually we use that first-person pronoun. We talk about my life and what I want. In this world, we hear people assert all the time, especially when it comes to matters of gender and sexuality, "I want to be who I am. I have the right to be me." This inborn self-centeredness goes beyond sexuality, of course, into every aspect of sinful human life. It corrupts every aspect of my life. What Satan did in that first garden was to teach us to say defiantly to God, "No, my will be done. My will be done. And now you have to accept me on my terms, God." since the fall into sin, we're born that way. Even two-year-olds know how to do this as they cry out, "Mine, mine." What Satan didn't tell Eve was this very defiance that got, it was this very defiance that got him and his followers kicked out of heaven. But watch, here comes the second Adam, Jesus. He has come to do everything right, to make everything right. He won't blow it as the first Adam did. Watch what is going to cost him to do that. He took the three, Peter, James, and John, with him and told them to watch. Not watch out for Judas, or not watch out for soldiers or danger, but to watch him. Watch and try to understand what's going on. For these three had been there watching when Jesus had raised a little girl from the dead. These three had stood for a moment in Jesus' glory on the Mount of Transfiguration, but they needed to watch him now, at this hour, to understand that being the Messiah didn't mean shining success after shining success, triumph, glory, fame, and power. Rather, it meant that Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient unto death, even death on a cross for the sins of the world. Jesus would be covered with it and experience God's full wrath. As a true human being, his knees buckled at the very thought. But watch what he says. "Yet not as I will, but as you will." The tempter had come to a garden again to try his old trick of warping the will. But here he lost. The son's will remained in harmony with the father's will. He would carry out the divine plan. Pray that God's will also be done in us. Yet as he returned to his disciples, what a contrast. They were sleeping. Imagine that. It was only an hour before that Peter had said that he would not deny Jesus, that he would be willing to die with him. He vehemently protested against Jesus' words of warning. And a few months earlier, James and John had confidently asserted to Jesus that they would be willing to undergo the same baptism of suffering that Jesus was about to undergo. Here they are, asleep. These fishermen who were used to staying up all night on the Sea of Galilee to make a living. Jesus' confrontational question really sounds like this in Matthew's original Greek text. "You guys weren't strong enough to keep watching, were you?" Answer, no. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak, weakened by the sin that lives in it. "For what I do is not the good that I want to do. No, the evil that I do not want to do, this I keep on doing." We fail to resist. We fail to watch. We fail to pray. We even play with fire and get badly burned. Jesus calls us to watch and pray. Yet he isn't telling us to somehow find the strength within ourselves, in our own weak flesh, some kind of resolve to try harder and do better. He doesn't say watch and pray only, but pray that you will not fall into temptation. Prayer is an important part of the Christian's life. But here, Jesus isn't telling us to pray for the sick or pray for blessings or pray in thanksgiving. Here, he's talking about spiritual discipline, to pray for God's powerful help in the time of trial and testing. Really, what Jesus is telling his disciples and us here is no different from what he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. "And lead us not into temptation." This is a prayer for God's protection, for God's strength, for God's help against the spiritual attacks launched daily by the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. We can't stand against these attacks on our own. We are far too weak, and it's nothing but arrogance to think that we can. But here is a prayer that is certainly powerful. It is a prayer that also closely ties in with the third petition, thy will be done. For this is God's will, to break and hinder every evil counsel and will, such as the will of the devil, the world, and our own flesh, and to strengthen and keep us steadfast in his word and in faith until our end. It is not a prayer that God's will be done by us, but rather for us and in us. God does this through his powerful word that teaches us to cling in faith to his Son, our only Savior. In the garden, our suffering Savior exhorts us to watch and pray, knowing how eager and able the Father is to both help and to hear us, that his will may be done also among us to his glory and for our salvation. Amen.